Now, in this second conference on depression, I'm going to talk about dealing with depression and healing. And I'm using extensively a beautiful work written by the Lynn brothers, Dennis and Matthew, Healing Life's Hurts. And I do recommend the whole book. And there's one chapter beginning with page 152 and the following that is very good on this subject. So anything I say has been digested, to some extent quoted and so on, and they deserve a great deal of the credit. If we do not deal with our negative emotions, then they will deal with us. We may end up mentally ill or even physically ill. Dr. Loring Swain from Harvard Medical School, with 50 years experience, has found that his patients who had sad events happen to them felt great emotional strain, had their first attacks of rheumatoid arthritis almost always after such events. If, on the other hand, when the patients began to deal with their negative emotions, for example, bitterness, resentment, anger, guilt feelings, and were able to start forgiving those responsible for their unhappy events, and also forgive themselves, the disease went into remission. But the disease again became active when the person failed to deal with his negative feelings of anger and guilt. When the person was forgiving, the disease went into remission. Now, there's a warning. We again must caution you that if there is a deep depression, long-lasting, and involves suicidal thoughts, or a great change in a person's pattern of sleep or appetite, seek professional help. If the depression is not that serious, getting out of the depression can be a quicker process if we share our feelings with a compassionate friend and are supported by those around us. If we are to know Christ's acceptance, we first need to experience acceptance from another person, and then we can begin to accept ourselves. We should also use the many gifts God has given us, besides professional help and medication and a warm friendship. We have the sacraments, especially of reconciliation, the Eucharist, our gift of faith, to draw on the power of God to heal us, the indwelling presence of God, the Holy Spirit, the intercession of the saints, for example, Saint Therese, but especially our Heavenly Mother, the use of blessed sacramentals, water, oil, salt. Now, dealing with depression in prayer, alone, or talking and praying with a compassionate friend is something we'd like to present. There are three steps, and these are presented by the Lynn brothers. The first is, tell Jesus how I feel. Place yourself in imagination in the presence of Jesus. If you find making the Stations of the Cross helpful, do so. Or select some other scene from his passion, for example, his agony in the garden, or his hours in the prison awaiting his trial before Pilate, his 3 hours on the cross, the scene when he was deserted by all his apostles in the garden when the soldiers came to arrest him. Pray over this to create a feeling of how Jesus looked at the things happening to him and what his feelings were. Then go on to ask Jesus to help you see what is causing your depression. Share it with him. In your depression, are you angry with someone or at yourself? In simple terms, tell Jesus as honestly and humbly as you can what you are feeling. Your conversation may very likely begin with self-pity. Woe is me. And how you have hurt yourself. Then move on to ask his help in recognizing your negative thoughts and feelings and his healing power to repair the harm done by your negative behavior. Here, try to pinpoint the irrational, negative way of looking at things so you can ask Jesus for his forgiveness. The Lynn brothers provide 10 what they call irrational ideas that will help you. You are responsible for hurting yourself if you continue entertaining thoughts in the following way. And these are listed against these 10 or the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. For example, against love. Opposed to that is a selfish love, put in words like this. I must be loved and accepted by those who are most important to me, and I must live up to their expectations. Now that's opposed to the teaching of Christ. We must love God above all others. Jesus is the Lord. We must follow him and live up to his expectations, no matter what the expectations others have for us. Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Then against joy, thinking of this kind. I must be perfectly competent and successful in achieving before I can be happy with myself. Now that's the perfectionist. Jesus says, without me you can do nothing. 2 Corinthians 12, 9-10. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Against true peace. In other words, in the midst of trials. This person is saying, it's easier for me to avoid certain difficulties and responsibilities rather than face them. If I ignore them, they may go away. Here we shirk our duties and obligations. And Jesus says, Luke 9:23, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Against patience. I must find the quick and perfect solution to my problem. We do not know everything, and least of all ourselves. Takes a long time and with much light from the good Lord. Philippians 4:5-6. Let all men know your patience. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. That's no quick answer. Against kindness. Certain people are bad. This is the thinking again of the depressed person. Certain people are bad, and they deserve severe blame or punishment for their sins. Now, God alone is the judge. Judge not that you may not be judged. And Luke 23:34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus on the cross. Against goodness. The person saying in negative ways, what they're expecting. I must be prepared for the worst by constantly dwelling on what may be bad, dangerous, or feared. Now that's opposed by all things work unto good for those who love God. And 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. We need to turn our thoughts on assessing our fears, we must not concentrate on our fears, but concentrate on the Lord's loving and healing power to overcome these fears. Against faithfulness, in other words, perseverance. I have been shaped by the past, and it's too late to change. That's like the person who says, if you don't like it, lump it. Now that's opposed by 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. And Paul, again, I chastise my body, lest after I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. against gentleness. It's terrible when things do not go the way I had planned them. That's opposed to Jesus saying, I came to do the will of him who sent me. And again, not my will, but thine be done. God's plans for us include everything that happens in our day. And God's ways, my ways, are not your ways. Against self-control, I have no control over my own happiness. What happens to me determines my happiness. Now that's opposed to the free will that God gives each one of us to choose the right things and reject the wrong. Also to choose what will make us happy now and forever in the next life. To know God's love for each of us is the greatest happiness in this life. And then against freedom. It's easier to keep doing the things the way I am doing them without taking on new commitments. Now that's a refusal to change when change is good for us and when it is God's way for us, especially to change bad habits to good ones, like being lovingly patient when we are inclined to be angry and abusive. 1 Corinthians, could we pull that blind up, please?
What?
1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. Love does not insist on its own way. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, reviewing these fruits of the Spirit against our negative thoughts and attitudes can help us identify our sinful ways of looking at life. Then we can tell Jesus and seek his forgiveness and his way of looking at these very things and situations in our life. So a prayer that we might make at this time, say, to Jesus, might run something like this. Jesus, I feel hurt and angry because, put in a name, Tom, let's say, criticized my way of acting the other day. I feel like dredging up the many faults I think he has and blaming him. Why does my fear and anger over criticism trouble me? And why do I bury it until it becomes like a bomb that explodes in me? Why is my love so selfishly given only to individuals who are kind to me? Why can't I forget what is not true and begin to do something about what is wrong? Jesus, heal me. Be my joy, be my discernment, be my forgiveness of Tom. Help me to accept myself. Jesus, even what I have now said shows that I am self-centered and concerned only about my hurt, and I don't even see how I have hurt you and Tom. The real mistake here is not how I hurt myself, but how I hurt you in myself and in others. Jesus, you said, whatever you did to the least of my little ones, you did it to me. My feelings seem so dead that I can't feel very sorry about the hurt that it is to you. Please heal me in these emotions and this coldness of heart. Jesus, I'm amazed at how much my thoughts turn to evil when I'm criticized. The bitter thoughts, vengeful thoughts, the unkind thoughts and wishes that are there. I see that it's not really any goodness or strength of mine that keeps me from being overwhelmed by criticism, but it is your loving forgiveness and healing power that come to me and protect me. Forgive me for indulging in self-pity and concentrating on my weakness rather than thanking you for your forgiving and healing love. Jesus, please show me where I am failing. Show me my sin so I can receive your healing love and forgiveness. I place in your heart all my hurts, the many ways I have hurt others. I ask that you heal me and those I have hurt from the results of my actions. I want to hand over to you everything that needs your healing. Please let me remember everything that you want to heal in me. And the next step would be, listen to Jesus and how he feels. Now say, look at Jesus to see how he would react and what he would say to you. What would Jesus do to heal you? What would he say? What person in the Gospels seems to reflect you? Would it be Simon Peter? The big mouth? The doubting Thomas? Simon the Pharisee? Martha or Mary? Or Mary Magdalene? The angry brothers, James and John, when they were cast out of town, you know, they wanted to call lightning and thunder on the whole town and devastated with a nuclear bomb. Feel relaxed and center your thoughts on Christ and imagine every detail of a scene that reflects you in the person of the gospel. Then listen to Jesus speaking as the disciples who sat at his feet. Now, these could be Jesus' words. Be thankful that you can see your faults. Know that the weaker you are, the closer you come to me, because then you need me more, and I can then give you more. Accept your weakness and rely on my strength, and give me the credit. My power is perfect in your weakness. You wish you did not have any faults. Even my saints had faults and needed to repent. Just look through my eyes and try to love yourself with all your weakness. Forget your wishes. Like this, if I were only less judgmental, less sensitive, able to change easily rather than make the same mistakes, then I could forgive myself and love myself. Well, remember the saying, hate the sin, but love the sinner. You will grow when you begin to love yourself somewhat like I do, and accept my love to grow. See yourself, yes, as the sinner you are, but also see how much I love you. I alone can totally love you as the person you are. So love yourself just as you are, with my forgiving love. I did not make you an angel, but a human person who will make mistakes and should learn from them. Accept my forgiveness given for you when I died for you. Give me your hand as a sign that you want to be closer to me. And let me place my hand, my arm, around your shoulder. Let me fill you with my strength. You say you don't feel sorry enough. You do not earn my forgiveness by having to feel good. To be forgiven and loved by me does not depend on feeling forgiveness or even feeling sorrow. What is important to me is that you sincerely say, you are sorry for having offended me. Being forgiven and receiving my love does not depend on feeling forgiven or even feeling sorrow. Feelings come and go and are not within your control at all times. While contrite feelings are good, it is more important to accept my great love for you even if you feel as dry as dust. Now, in a deep breath, breathe out all your negative, depressed feelings, fear and anger. Breathe in the feeling of my peace and my healing love. For some time, just rest quietly in my arms so I can heal you and fill you with my love. To you I say, as I did to those I healed in the Gospels, your faith has saved you. Be at peace. Now that's the end of the conversation. Now see yourself going through the scenes of your faults that you shared with Jesus. The different ways you were hurt by others, your angry reactions, what you said and did in retaliation. As you go through each scene, see Jesus putting his arm around your shoulder, smiling, embracing you, because he can forgive a large debt just as easily as a small debt, and bring you closer to him through the sin. Rest in his arms until you feel loved and can smile and even accept yourself in those sinful situations just as Jesus accepted you. Test this by picturing the people who hurt you or whom you have hurt and see if you can accept them just as Jesus accepted you. As a further response to this inner experience with Jesus, want to give those who hurt you the same acceptance and blessings that Jesus has given you. The insights and healings you receive from Jesus at this time may be put in words, because it is a healing love that works most when we just rest in Him. I should have said they cannot be put into words. So just rest in Him. Just remain silent and rest in Jesus and let His love touch you. It may seem to you that when you are not talking, that nothing is happening. But being with Jesus at this time is like being with a dear friend with whom you do not have to be talking all the time. Just being with Him and enjoying His presence is enough. So our healing moments during prayer come at just such times, for then our being is open to Jesus' healing love as we rest in His loving embrace. That's especially true at communion time. Don't do all the talking. Just be with the Lord. Now the third step is acting healed, living out Jesus' reaction. If you are to act healed, you need to begin with a prayer. Ask Jesus to bring to your imagination His ways of acting in the situations that face you, and put into your heart His power to heal the hurt in yourself and in others. You will still encounter failures, but they will come when you are angry at yourself and give up trying, or when you are angry with God and go back to doing things your own way and with your own supposed strength. So a prayer that you could say at this time would be the following. Jesus, please let me see how You want me to live with Your way of seeing things and with Your heart. Now that I see how I am like those who hurt me, I see that You want me most of all to forgive Tom or John or Mary Jo or Jane completely. Help me to love them the way they are. Help me to put my own gift of criticizing to constructive use by helpful suggestions. Show me the ways in which You want to heal them and work through so that I can help them to grow. Show me how You want me to love them more. Jesus, thank You for helping me to share Your love with Tom, John, Mary Jo, and Jane. My forgiveness will be deeper if I can love them the way they are. Help me to get closer to them, to find the best time and place for that, and be just as patient with them as You were with me. Jesus, please show me how to use what I don't like in myself. For example, my sensitiveness to criticism. Make me sensitive to those who are criticized. Show me how to use my self-pity at not being accepted and turn it into a drive to help me build closer relationships with others in which I can accept and support one another, in which we can accept, support one another. Jesus, please show me the many ways in which You want to heal me and bless me so I can always thank You. That's the end of the prayer. Now, when you can pray by focusing on your gifts instead of what is wrong with you, you'll find that the depression will begin to lift. Depression, to a great extent, involves a deliberate choice of putting oneself down. For example, you often have the simple choice of either continuing to get discouraged over your inclination to criticism of others or yourself, or using it to change what needs to be changed in your situation, family, or community. What we have done wrong should keep us down. I should have made that negative. What we have done wrong should not keep us down. It should force us to turn to Jesus and lean on Him and seek His forgiveness. A temptation can lead either to sin or to virtue. Your doubts against faith can harm your faith, or if you resist it, the temptation can make your faith stronger than ever. For example, you have a doubt about the real presence in the Eucharist. Reaffirm your faith in that presence. None of us are born with ready-made virtue. We develop it by reacting to temptations and overcoming them. Or when we fail, get up. Rely more on the strength of Christ. The saints, too, were human beings. Their sins brought them closer to Christ. St. Augustine, St. Francis, St. Mary Magdalene, St. Ignatius, St. Peter the Apostle, John the Evangelist, who ran away, later came back, repentant, so on. There are a number of ways to heal depression. One, by saying, "I'm sorry" to the person you hurt. Two, making restitution for the hurt or damage you caused. Three, talking with a friend and praying with him or her. Four, making the Stations of the Cross. Five, visiting the sick, the poor, or troubled. Six, getting lots of rest, recreation when exhausted. Seven, especially confession, sacrament reconciliation. In just a matter of minutes, I have seen the power of this sacrament reconciliation lift the burdens of a person that has carried that burden for years, and to begin to heal deep hurts that may have been driving a person to suicide. I can remember an occasion when I was visiting. I was in that locality for 4 days. In the morning I was leaving, a person came to that mass and then shared a problem with me. And after 10 minutes talking with them, prevailed on them to receive the sacrament. It was the first time they had gone to the sacrament in 28 years. And the family where I offered the Mass had been praying for them for years. Now, we don't know how many graces were needed, but in God's ways, 28 years of sin can be wiped out in an instant. All forgiven. I remember another person. I'm almost afraid to say it was 50 years, but he was brought to the confessional by his wife holding his ear. I leave him to the mercy of God. But yes, God can deal with, you know, all the hurts of a whole lifetime in 10 seconds. Suppose a person is still depressed. Perhaps you may feel depressed when you have followed these suggestions. Still depressed. This may especially happen when you want to feel differently and have not handed over to Jesus your desire to be in control of your feelings. At such a time, you might change your conversation with the Lord and tell Jesus how you want to feel. "Jesus, I want to grow from these feelings I have. Please help me to grow. Your decision to love and be forgiven, even if you do not feel like it, are the roots from which deep love and forgiveness grow. If you have followed the steps given in this conference, you are forgiven whether you feel like it or not, and are able to act thankful rather than depressed. It may begin slowly, but it begins to deepen until you also feel loved and are loving. If you continue to feel depressed, go and visit others with bigger trials and burdens. A father of 7 children out of work, paralyzed, bedridden person, a sorrowing widow living alone, a person with terminal cancer. May be hard to remain depressed by your burden when you see the heavy, real burdens of others. There is a story. It has to do with a German village at Christmas time. Some of you may know the story. And it seemed like it would be a sad Christmas for the family, because they had no gifts. They were poor. But they had a place, a home, and so on. They had a number of the things that others may not have had. But were indulging in self-pity. And suddenly, an angel came to the house and said very simply, "You have a cross to carry? Come with me." And took him up and down the street and showed them what was happening in each home. In one home, the family was in tears, crying over the mother who died. In another home, there were three very sick children, and they had no fire in winter. And the story went on, one tragedy after another. And each of them had a great big cross on the door. Finally, they came back, came to a door. There's a wee little cross on, he could hardly see it. And walked in. The person said, "Looks familiar." The angel said, "It's your home." So, there's a very good lesson in that. If the depression continues, perhaps the real problem is not depression, but anger. An anger at God and being unable to accept His love. This kind of anger takes on many subtle expressions. For example, you feel like working rather than praying, because it means having to go to God. Or you expect little change from prayer. Up there he's not listening, forget it. Fear that God may ask too much, or shortening your prayer time, or promising a total surrender but holding back some small area of our life. The road back from depression involves the three main steps that we've given above. First, admitting to ourselves that we have a problem. Second, asking for forgiveness. And third, having the Lord's power in our life and seeing how we can love ourselves and others. And now let's see if we can have some discussion on and your insights. Yes, the third step is having the Lord's power in our life and seeing how we can love ourselves and others. Charlie?
Paul, you often hear this quote that says, "God helps those who help themselves." In light of what you've been talking about, depression.
That would apply to people who are not depressed. And yet it would apply to people who are depressed, because helping themselves, we've shown them what they could do. If they don't do it, they're not, you know, helping themselves. They're not taking steps to get out of the depression. So that would, in other words, involve helping themselves. Okay? Anyone else?
When you talk about the wife dragging her husband out of years of depression, is a person really allowed to forcibly marry someone else during depression?
Well, in the case of a wife, I guess we can make an exception. After all, you know, he's only a half and she's a half. Put them together and have a whole. So they're that close. After all, too, you know, the two can go to confession together. On my couples retreat, I invite them, and a lot of couples accept that.
You make house
calls? No, but you can come on my couples retreat.
Would you like to talk to my husband?
When you said the real problem is if it's not depression, but anger with God, because they can't, like, accept
at being unable to accept God's love, His love.
I know a man who, he's in his 60s, and his wife became blind after 6 months of marriage many years ago, and before she died, 18 months before she died, a few years ago, she had cancer, and he's so angry with the Lord.
Well, of course, the problem there is, why should we blame the Lord for all the troubles in the world? Think. If the Lord had his way, it would have been paradise. But when a person is emotionally upset, you can't reason with them until they can calm down and see that they cannot and should not blame the Lord. Then perhaps they can come to a peaceful solution, acceptance of the situation.
Did you equate depression with despair?
It could lead to despair. But no, not always. But it could lead to it, yes. In other words, the person sees, in the all he sees in the future are, you know, just more of the same and much more. No hope. And that's when their thoughts become suicidal. Anyone else?
Way back in Christianity, they didn't have that much psychology and everything. How they came to the sanctification or even to a contemplation, you know, let's say, effectiveness of prayer?
Well, they didn't have all the books that we have now. And besides, the Temple of Life, they weren't driving around Mercedes-Benz in those days. And they didn't have TV or all kinds of sophisticated home appliances. When they needed water, they went out with a jug and the ladies carried it on their head. And the male, and then the men walked behind and encouraged them. Life was simpler in those days. But believe me, when I was in Palestine 2 years ago, they're still doing the same thing. He rides the donkey, she carries the wood. So the question you put there, in other words, I'm not quite sure I understand it, but life was more simple. It wasn't as complex as it is today. People weren't subject to the nervous illnesses that you have today. It's on the Temple of Life, the merry-go-round that we're on. The world is like living in a fishbowl now. You have a satellite above us so that pinpoints anybody in the world. You can't hide anywhere. That big eye is up there showing where everybody's at. But in those days, you know, if you lived in Palestine, it was like that was the whole world. Nobody knew that there was another world like the United States or America or the continent. All they thought of the world was the Middle East in those days. So there were many things, in other words, to lead to a simpler life and consequently to a more peaceful life. Well, in other words, behind sanctity, of course, must be the Holy Spirit. So he works with whatever he has. But the ingredients for sanctity are the same no matter what century you live in. See? It doesn't matter whether you're driving a Cadillac or whether you're driving a donkey. If you want to do the will of God, I don't know what he's doing with the Cadillac, but... but the essential ingredients there is, if you get anyone who wants to do God's will all the time, every moment of their life,
then you have a perfect Christian, whether he lived in the first century or the 20th century. That's essential. Thing. Jim?
Well, what about that passage in the scriptures where it says about serving the Lord in fear and trembling? How does that...
That has been reworded. Fear and concern. Or reverence and concern, if I remember. And then the fear is not the slavish fear or, you know, the nervous fear that drives you batty, but the reverence that a child has for a parent, afraid to offend them because they love them. See? In other words, that's respect, would be a good word to use there. With respect, reverence. And a healthy fear, yes. Healthy fear that if one doesn't have enough love of God, then should be afraid of the punishment they would deserve for offending such an infinitely good father. See, there is a place for fear. Reverential fear. Yes? Well, what do you mean it was prophesied?
Why do we not bring it weaker in our body?
Well, I don't know that that's prophecy. I'm not sure where that's what the source of that is. But that may be based on space studies or something, you know, the Star Wars or Star Trek.
I know we have theory on
Earth. It seemed to me that men's heads aren't getting bigger, they're getting smaller. They're getting more stupid. I mean, spiritually, they're stupid. With all our sophisticated technology, the Lord says, you're pretty good, right?
Yeah.
All right, what can you do about oil, huh? We're strapped over a barrel of oil, and yet we're flying out to the moon. That needs to be quoted again. We still can't grow hair on a bald head. If the sun shines particularly bright on a day, it's because maybe there are a lot of bald heads around. Thurman there is very happy. All right, let's get back to any more questions on the subject.
I was listening to what you were saying. The books that we read, were those books, inspiration for all people or for the particular person they were given to?
Which books?
Spiritual books. Would it be applied the same?
No, they were written for all people trying to develop a deeper spiritual life and relationship with God.
But then some books explain it in one manner. Some saints have gone through different phases in different manner.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of becomes confusing because you don't know this one is like this and this one is like that. And it's almost like coming to the point, Lord, I read these books, but I still don't understand. But what is your way for me?
All right, now that's what's important. You can read the Franciscan Way of Spirituality, the Dominican Way, the Benedictine Way, the Carmelite Way, and shop. But there is a way of spirituality for each of you. One way appeals to another. And like the Carmelite way is very attractive for many people. That may not go for somebody like the Franciscans. Okay, that's up to you. It's the way the Spirit leads. So follow it. See, in other words, there are all kinds of people who follow Jesus. A priest follows Jesus, but not like a married man. Married man follows Jesus, but not like a priest. At least his wife wouldn't like it. And a young woman can follow Jesus, And if she's not married, not like a housewife or like some professional. A doctor can follow Jesus, but not like a lawyer or especially a politician. So there are different ways. In other words, each one of us has our way to God. And it will be in your state of life. And it cannot be like a religious. I mean, someone who wears a habit and is taking vows and is living in a community. Your community is your family and the environment in which you live. God's will for you is everything that is bound up there. Your obligation to your husband, to your children, and whatever other obligations you've assumed after much thought and prayer in some way in serving God and your neighbor. That for you is your way to God. Now that shouldn't be hard. I mean, to find your way. Most of us have to be concerned about what is my inner life with God.
Okay. So I can go after what a book says it was revealed to another person.